welcome to our latest business show on Marlow FM. My name is Lawrence Wood, and I am hosting this week, and I've got an absolutely fantastic guest this week. Listeners at home, you may recognise his name for very good reason. He is the other half of the best presenting duo, dare I say, on Marlow FM. It's Mr. Mark Harris. Mark, how are you doing today?
I am doing really well, thank you. And I'm not nearly as brave as you, because there's a lot of other presenting duos on Marlow FM who are going to have a thing or two to say to you about that.
Well, I hope they do. And I hope that we get plenty of listeners tuning in to make the decision for themselves. Before we go any further, Mark, how have you been recently?
I've been good. Why do you ask?
Just because we're all going through a pretty tough time at the moment. So I thought it'd be good, before we get too much into the business talk, to take a moment to check in with you and say, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Okay. And you know what? I thought that was a loaded question, but if it's a legitimate, open and honest question, then yeah, actually, I'm almost embarrassed to say that I'm fine, thank you. I have had enough of lockdown. I'm fed up. I want to go out of my house. I do from time to time to do a bit of shopping, but apart from that, I'm being a really, really good boy. And as the saying goes, my bins have been out more than I have lately. But apart from that, I'm fit and healthy. My immediate family is fit and healthy. Businesses, touch wood, chugging along, and we will talk more about that shortly. So yeah, really can't complain, and I do feel for all of the people who are, for one reason or another, not able to say that. And I have to be nice and say to you, how about you?
Yeah, I'm actually doing very well, thank you. Yeah, it's a busy time, and I think, like many people, I've had to make some tough choices about what do I need to continue doing and what activities do I potentially need to drop in order to allow for me to pick up fatherly duties, schooling children at home who aren't able to go to school, etc. But generally speaking, you know, I'm alive, I'm well, as you said, my family's well, so I'm very grateful for that. And I do hope the listeners out there that you're all doing well as well. So, Mark, I know you wear a number of hats. You do an awful lot of stuff. You work for charities, you work for yourself, you're in self-employed businesses. You do a huge amount within the community, both in the business community, the social community, a whole wide range of things. In fact, we could probably spend the whole hour just going through very briefly each of the different things that you do. However, today, we're not speaking about any of the stuff that you've done in the past, are we?
No, today I really want to focus on the future and my, I was going to say, exciting new venture. My new venture, which is certainly exciting for me and hopefully is going to excite some other people too.
Fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this. So for anyone at home, just give you a taste of what's coming up. If you've been struggling work-wise, if you've been furloughed or you are concerned that you are maybe facing redundancy, then really do stay with us for this show, because Mark has some very interesting things to say that you might find very, very useful. And before we go any further, we have, I'm going to start with our first piece of music for the show. Now, because I have so much respect for Mark, he's such an awesome guy, I've let him pick three songs. Listeners will know that I normally only let the guests pick two. Today, I've let Mark have three. And the first one that he has chosen is We Can Work It Out by the Beatles. Mark, would you like to tell us briefly, why did you choose this song?
Yeah, I like the Beatles. I like this song. Those are two good reasons. But given the nature of my new business, which is very much about people collaborating, working together, benefiting from the skills of each other to move forward, it seemed like a very appropriate title.
I think it certainly does seem like a great title in that sense. Also, it's the Beatles. You can't go wrong with the Beatles, can you? Who doesn't love a bit of the Beatles? So the first song today, We Can Work It Out by the Beatles.
As a reminder, for copyright reasons, we can't play the music within this podcast, but as a reminder, within the podcast notes, you will find a link to it on YouTube, so you can have a listen there. I'd recommend that, and I'd recommend that when you've listened, come back and listen to the rest of the podcast.
That was The Beatles' We Can Work It Out, a brilliant first piece of music chosen by my guest today on the business show, Mr. Mark Harris, who, as I just explained a minute ago, listeners might know as the Mark Harris who's the other presenter of the business show. So if you recognise his voice, that's where it's from. Mark, as I promised the listeners, we are going to be discussing your new business, which I believe is called After Redundancy. So you're the founder of After Redundancy. Tell me a little bit about what the business is, and more importantly, how did you come up with it? Why did you start it? What's the purpose?
Well, firstly, I have to say thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. Secondly, I love the fact that you've used the present tense for what the business is. It's not quite yet. The website is built, but there's a whole bunch of amends which are going through. It is quite possible that by the end of today, the web designer will say, job done, let's put it live, and I'll go, ooh, how exciting. And then the business really is present tense. The business is it's an organization which supports people who have been made redundant or who are facing redundancy. And the way it supports them is by following them through the journey of redundancy and offering a range of different forms of help that would be appropriate at that stage of the journey. Why did I come up with the idea, or how did I come up with the idea? Do you know what? There's just so many people being made redundant. And a day or so ago, 18,000 people from Debenhams, it was pretty clear that they are, I'm not sure what from a legal perspective, whether they've been made redundant or not, but you know, there's so many people. And it was actually a few months ago, it was well into lockdown, well into the virus period, but there was another story. And I thought, what would I do if it was me? What would I be feeling? What would my emotional response to it be? And what would I then do? If I've had a job for 2 years, 10 years, 30 years, and then it's gone, so what am I going to do? I've got this lovely blank sheet of paper in front of me, and I know that having a blank sheet of paper can be really positive, and I also know it can be really hard. So what would I do, and how would I do it? And if I wanted help, who would I get help from? And I had a little nose around the internet to see what help is available, and there's all sorts of different strands of help, but nothing that helps people all the way through that redundancy journey. And I thought, you know what, if it doesn't exist, why don't you invent it? So I did.
Really, really interesting. And of course, you've picked up on one of the key crises that a lot of people are facing at the moment, even though they have been not, I would say, comfortably off, but at least they have been potentially supported by the 80% furlough scheme, and lots of companies have topped that up to 100%. That doesn't mean that their job is secure. Their income might be temporarily secure, but their job isn't necessarily secure. And lots of people are facing post-furlough redundancy. We know that. And so this is a very timely business. And I think it speaks to the character of the businesses that you run, because I know that you volunteer as a mentor for the Prince's Trust, helping young people get businesses going. You're a business mentor for other businesses. So this is interesting, because you're now helping people who've been made redundant. Not all of them are necessarily looking to start their own business. What if they're being made redundant and they want to get back into the workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. And I make no assumptions with the business that I have. What I talk about a lot is the redundancy journey. The redundancy journey is a phrase that comes up a lot in my website. And it is a journey from being told you're at risk to being made redundant to being emotional about it, by which I mean your emotions are the key thing that's going on at that point. You're angry, you're grieving, you're sad, you're all sorts of different emotions that might be very real. From there, you get to the point where, right, I'm going to crack on. So what I'm going to do, and that's your blank sheet of paper. And from there, I think that there are only three things that you can do, other than you can try and do these things, but there's only three things that you're aiming for. One, as you quite rightly say, is starting a business, because then, you know, you employ yourself, bingo, you get a job on day one. The second is get a job, as in employment in somebody else's business. And the third is retire. So how do you decide which of those you actually want to do when you have a choice? A lot of the time in life, we don't get choices. But when you've got that blank sheet of paper in front of you, I know it's hard to look at it from a positive perspective, but actually, you have choices. Instead of getting up and going back to that same job tomorrow, you're not doing that. And I'm really sorry, especially if you wanted to, I'm really sorry, but you're not doing that. So what are you going to do? And actually having somebody help you to make that decision as to whether to get a job, start a business, or retire is a critical part of that redundancy journey. but I don't assume that everybody needs help all the way along the way. You might have been told you're at risk of redundancy. Some people will shrug their shoulders and wait and see what happens. Other people will look at the way it's been done and say, you know what, I'm not sure this is legal. I'm not sure they're following legal guidelines, best practice on the method and the fair way of making people redundant. So what do they do about that? So on my website, there's three different ways they can deal with that. One is they can look at a range of websites to which I point them, where it details out what the rules are, and they can make their own decision on how to deal with that, whether or not it's being done properly. The second option is to engage with somebody that they know, like, and trust, who can perhaps help them. And that would be an employment solicitor. If they know, like, trust somebody who could help them through, that's great. And if they don't know someone like that, I do. In fact, I know a few people like that. So I would put them in touch with this or that employment lawyer that I figured was the best one for them, for whatever reason, either because of geography or personality or gender or whatever it is that the criteria. And I then take a large step backwards and let the two of them get on with a commercial relationship. And what do I charge for all of that? Answer, nothing at all. So how do I make any money? Yeah. If that person and that employment solicitor do some business and the person being made redundant pays them, then I get, after that, they have been paid, I get a small commission from that solicitor. So that's the philosophy and the mechanisms if someone's at risk, or indeed if they're actually made redundant. But at each stage on that redundancy journey, there's the same philosophy, the same processes. So you asked about starting a business. If they get to the point on that journey without any help from anybody, they just do it themselves, and well done you, they get to the point where I'm going to start a business. Well, how do I do that then? You know? And sure. They might be a brilliant web designer, to pick something out of the air. Running a business are two different skill sets. Being a web designer and understanding a profit and loss account are two different skill sets. So if they know people who can help them make their business happen, that's great. Off you go. Chat with them. If you don't know someone like that, I do. And if you know someone who can do that, someone who can do that, someone who can do that, and you've got a gap with this piece of knowledge or that piece of expertise, then I can just help you in those areas. And I don't actually help you. I introduce you to an expert and they can help you. So whichever bit of the journey you're in, the same philosophy of some free stuff on the website, free links, click here, go for it. With starting your own business, the first thing I recommend is get in touch with your local growth hub. For us in Marlow on Marlow FM, Buckinghamshire Business First is the local growth hub. Loads of free help for people who want to start a business. They'll stick you on a four-day course, virtual these days, no charge, you know. It's great, and go for it. But there comes a point where you want a one-to-one relationship with an expert, and you don't know someone who's expert in whatever that is. So I could introduce you. I charge you nothing for making that happen. And if and when that expert gets some money from you for the service that they deliver, that's when I get a little commission.
Really, really interesting. I'm going to ask you in a minute to pitch your business for us, as if you were speaking to, if you've been thrown into a networking event that was especially for people who had been made or were facing redundancy, and to pitch for them. But before we do that, so you know it's coming, but before we do that, how do you pick those people that you're going to refer someone to? Is it simply that you've got 20,000 connections on LinkedIn and you find one that seems suitable and you broker a deal with them and say, I've got a client that might work for you. Do you want to pay me some money for the contact details? Or are these sort of close personal friends that you've known for years and years, or is it something in between?
It's certainly not pluck somebody out of LinkedIn. I have got a lot of connections, and with the vast majority of them, if you said to me, do you know that person, I would say, not as far as I know, and I'll look on LinkedIn, oh, I appear to be connected. But, you know, I'm connected to loads of people I don't know. I will not be referring you to that person. I don't know them. I'm linked with them on LinkedIn. It doesn't mean I know them. I don't like them. It's not that I dislike them. just they haven't given me any reason to like them. And I certainly don't trust them, and I don't distrust them, but they haven't yet given me any reason to trust them. So if, let's say you wanted some advice on intellectual property, okay, on protecting your brand name and your logo and making sure no one can copy it. I know a guy who can help you do that. In fact, I know two. Off the top of my head, I can think of two without resorting to LinkedIn or whatever else. With one of them, I've known him for years. He's given me intellectual property advice. I've referred people to him before. And whenever I do with girls like that, I always ask for feedback. And the feedback about this guy has always been, he's good, he's helpful. He charges for his service, but his prices are fair and reasonable. And, you know, so I know and I trust him. I'm happy to refer you to him. The other guy I've known for less time, but he was a guest on my business podcast a little while ago. So I've really got to know him a bit more. I've checked out some of his claims and I believe him to be legitimate. I believe that he knows what he's saying when he gives advice. He knows what he's doing. He knows his sector. So that's two straight away. Hypothetically, if I got inundated with inquiries, which is a risk, you know, I don't know how many inquiries I'm going to get when I launch in a day or so, or maybe even this afternoon. But if I get inundated inquiries and they say, lovely, but don't give me any more, and then I get another inquiry, well, who do I refer that to? And the answer is I don't just pick somebody and dish it out. I say to the person who needs the help, you need to give me a little time. And I then go and get recommendations, maybe from you, maybe from the guys who are full up with work. Okay, when you're too full of work, who do you refer to as an expert? Who do you trust? Please introduce me. And I promise to still prioritize you in future, but actually, I've got one that you can't handle, so who do I give it to? So I really need to know, like, trust people before I pass any referrals on.
That's all really about building relationships. We talk about the know, like, trust journey, the know, like, trust relationship. And many times with many guests on this show, I have spoken about the importance of building relationships in business, how they are really the cornerstone of business, even in the modern world, even in the world of social media, where you can link with 20, 30,000 people through a platform and technically know them to someone giving it a cursory glance, but you don't really know that person. It's still the people that you've built those strong relationships with. So what you're really doing for the clients coming to you is opening up your contact list of people that you have built working relationships with, or at least that you can comfortably recommend on the basis of recommendations from people that you have those relationships with.
Absolutely. And I've been running Enterprise Doctor, my business consultancy, for over a decade now. Before that, I was a consultant doing various bits and pieces, working for organizations like the Thames Valley Chamber of Commerce Group and other organizations which have good business links. And, you know, I've been really networked in for quite a while. And I know lots of people, and I don't challenge people, but it is rare for somebody to say to me, who do you know who can help me with this? It's rare for me to say, I don't know anybody. And if I do, I'm so disappointed, I say, can you get? And I go out and I find somebody. I find somebody who's highly recommended. I might ask you, because I know I trust you, who do you know who can do that? I might ask somebody to pick something intentionally obscure. I don't know a lawyer who specializes in maritime shipping, but I do know a lawyer who specializes in employment law, and I bet you he knows it and trusts a lawyer who specializes in maritime shipping. So, you know, I will go out and find. So, you know, I recognize a problem in the big wide world. I recognize that I have a skill set. I have a little black book that's just huge. It's a big black book of contacts. And the business is about putting those two things together to help people. And you know what? Do I want to make money out of it? Yeah, because, you know, I've got bills to pay just like the rest of us out there. But I really want to help people. People being made redundant, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. It's not nice, and it's not fun, and it's very worrying, and it can have a really good outcome. And if I can in some way devote some time and energy to helping other people have that really good outcome and earn a buck along the way, but not in a greedy way and certainly not in a vulture way. I'm not taking any money from the people who've been made redundant. I'm taking money from the experts who are selling the services. then I see that as sort of a win-win.
Yeah, brilliant. Before we go into our next piece of music, Mark, in a nice 60-second cannibal moment, can you please pitch your business for us?
Okay, and I'm pitching this to a group of people who are at risk of redundancy or who've been made redundant. Yeah, to set the scene.
Yeah, just to set the scene, yeah.
Okay, good afternoon all. My name is Mark Harris. I'm the founder of After Redundancy. What we do is we help you through the redundancy journey. There are a range of stages from being told you're at risk to actually being made redundant to having emotional challenges. And then the next stage is, right, I'm going to do something, but what am I going to do? And I think there are three answers to that. You can get a job, you can start a business, or you can retire. And at any or all of those stages on that journey, you might not need any help. Fine, go for it, sort yourself out. You might need help and you might know someone who can help. Go for it, talk to them. If you don't know somebody like that, I do. And the help that we give at no charge is to introduce you to the right people who can help you with whatever stage of the journey you're at. So if you are on that redundancy journey, and if at any time on that redundancy journey you need some help, I'm your man. Please get in touch with Mark Harris from After Redundancy.
Brilliant. And just quickly, Mark, where can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm going to say the website address in a moment. I am going to say my web designer who I spoke to this morning said, no, don't do that, it's not finished. But I'm going to do it. Don't go there now, scribble it down. Go there tomorrow or maybe the day after and it'll be there. But somewhat unsurprisingly, afterredundancy.co.uk will be the website address. If you Google it, you won't find it yet, but if you actually type it in, afterredundancy.co.uk, it'll be there. Some of the pages are perfect, some of the pages need some work. Within 48 hours, it'll be perfect, and I will be shouting from the rooftops about my new business.
Great. Why don't you post the website to our Facebook group when it's all up and ready? So if anyone does want to find it in a couple of days' time, you can go onto Facebook, you can search for The Business Show Marlow FM, or if you just search the hashtag TBS Marlow FM, you'll find all of our social media stuff. Mark, post the website up there with some other contact details, and we will be, hopefully our listeners will be able to find you that way as well. It sounds like for anyone who is either has been made redundant or is facing redundancy, the best thing to do is call up Mark and say, hey, let's work together, which ironically is the title of your next song, Mark, by Canned Heat. So why did you pick this one?
I hate you. That's what I do. I do these cheesy, awful links. So
I learned from the best.
I am smiling, though. People at home can't see me smiling, but you can. So I'll tell you why I liked Canned Heat when they were around. I really quite like this song and always have. And again, let's work together. That's what this is all about. I want to work with people who are on that redundancy journey, and I want them to work with the experts that I trust. So let's come on, let's work together.
Brilliant. Let's Work Together by Canned Heat here on Marlow FM, The Business Show.
So listeners on the radio are now listening to the second piece of music, but you're not. But if you want to, you can click on the link in the podcast notes to do that.
That was Let's Work Together by Canned Heat. You're listening to Lawrence Wood. This is The Business Show on Marlow FM. I've got a fantastic guest today, Mr. Mark Harris, who listeners may recognise as the other voice who hosts The Business Show from time to time. And, well, in fact, not time to time, every other week that I'm not on. Let's be fair to him. He does half the work. More than half, maybe. And he's been speaking to us about a fantastic new business called After Redundancy, which he has founded to support people who either are facing redundancy or in the throes of redundancy at the moment. And he's been really, really interesting to listen to so far, to hear about that business and what he's trying to achieve. This is where I shut up and I let Mark really wax lyrical about something he knows a hell of a lot about. And his topic is how to move through the redundancy journey. So, Mark, I've set you up. I am now going to be quiet and I'm going to let you have the air.
Thank you kindly. I want to talk about the various stages of the redundancy journey. And I think that one of the most important things to remember is that not everybody needs help at every stage. So the first stage is when you're told you're at risk, your job is at risk of redundancy. And you said about how I move people through that redundancy journey. I don't. People move themselves through that redundancy journey. Time moves them through that redundancy journey. When you're told your job is at risk, the day is going to come when you either hear the news that you're going or the news that you're one of the ones who's staying, if that's the scenario. So time ticks inexorably onwards, and different things happen to you, but what you can choose is how you react to each of those different things. So, as I said, when you are told you're at risk of redundancy, you might decide that's all fair and reasonable, and you understand you don't like it, but you understand it, and you're okay with it, and you wait till you hear the bad news or the good news. You might say, you know what, looking at this correspondence from them, looking at what I've had and with what I know of the big wide world, I'm pretty sure they're breaking laws here and treating me in a way that I shouldn't be treated, and my colleagues. So you might want to get some advice from it. So, as I said, the advice on the website, there's links to places where you can get free advice, and in this section is places like ACAS and employment tribunals, and government website is pretty good. And I don't send you to gov.uk, I send you to the specific page that talks about this kind of scenario. But you might decide you want to talk to an employment solicitor, a solicitor who is specialised in employment law. So, as I said, you can then, as it details out on the website, like, trust someone like that, go, talk to them, fine, fine. And, but actually, on the next phase of the redundancy journey, where you need help, not where you don't need help, come back here, because we've got more good advice. If you know, like, trust somebody, go do it. If you don't, talk to us. We know people and we will introduce you to somebody. And then you can go and develop your own commercial relationship with them, as with a plumber, as with a solicitor when you move the house. You ask some questions, you check them out, you get a feel for them, you come to know, like, and trust them. And at some point you say, fine, what's the deal? Agree some terms, you sign, at some point you pay, and up till then it's cost you nothing, I charge you nothing anytime. But when you pay that person, they know, like, trust me, and they say, Mark, I owe you a little bit of an introduction fee. So the reply and the story for each of these stages of the journey is the same. So if we look at something like counselling, you might be depressed, you might be sad, you might be angry, you might be grieving, you might be able to deal with that yourself. And if you can, then wow, I am impressed with you, because dealing with those things is really hard. If you can really legitimately deal with those things yourself, then go for it. If you can't, please get some help. And if you know, like, trust someone who can do that, great. On the website, there are links to organisations that provide free help. You absolutely should talk to your GP, who can potentially refer you for some free help. It might be that for one of many reasons, and possibly the delay on the NHS waiting list might be a reason, that you want to pay someone. So if you know someone qualified, approved, proper counsellors, not just, I mean, there's nothing wrong with helpful people, but these are not just helpful people. They're qualified and approved and authorised to do what they do, and they will help you. They will charge you, you will pay them, and again, you get a little something at the end of it. You get to the point where mentally you're okay and you accept it, and what are you going to do now? So that's where somebody like a career coach might come in handy. And again, there are links on the website to where you can go to get help and advice. And if you know a career coach, go talk to them. And if you don't, we know some very local, some of whom will be known to Marlow FM listeners. We can introduce you to them. They will help you work it out. And finally, it's the retirement or get a job or start a business, whichever of those three you choose. Again, on the website, links to places you can go to do that bit of the journey on your own if you want to. Talk to people who you consider expert if you want to. And if you want some help with any or all aspects there, I'm sounding a bit like a broken record, but there are people we know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
But the reason I sound a bit like a broken record is whichever bit of the journey you're at, it's the same kind of response, some free stuff. you can go talk to somebody and pay for it, or we know people you can pay.
And clearly what you're doing, when someone faces something like redundancy, I guess the first reaction is to panic. And what you're doing is helping them just to, the old phrase, keep calm and carry on, to focus on what you need to do next and take those next steps with a measure of support and confidence. And if you find yourself relating to the sort of experience that Mark has highlighted, if you find yourself on that journey, then don't stop believing, which is, ironically again, the name of our next song, Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Mark, I think I know why you've picked this song. Am I right, or would you like to cue it up with any thoughts?
Oh, you're absolutely right, and if listeners haven't worked it out, then really you should have. Yeah, firstly, it's a great song, a hugely uplifting song, but redundancy is not the end of the journey. It's not the end of your life. It's not necessarily the end of your working life. It's a step. If you are despondent and depressed and don't do something, then that's not great. The first thing you have to do is believe that you're going to move forward. And that's really my message to people in that situation. Yes, it's bad. No, it's not fun. But don't stop believing that something good can transpire in maybe the long run, maybe the medium run. But don't stop believing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if anyone out there does find themselves in a similar position, absolutely do not be afraid to ask for help from someone like Mark, or especially if you're finding yourself in a really bad situation, to go and speak to your GP or ask for help. There is no shame in it. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's the best possible thing you can do. But we'll move on. It's a fantastically upbeat song that we've got coming up, and it's got some great guitar work in there. I notice you've got a guitar behind you there, Mark. Are you also a big player?
Well, I've been learning for a little while. I have a lesson once a fortnight. I practice nearly every day, and I'm now as good as the average 9-year-old guitarist. But I'm having so much, it's an electric guitar, I'm having so much fun playing intros to things like Smoke on the Water and Rebel Rebel, and it's almost recognisable, which is fantastic.
Brilliant. Well, for listeners at home, this is Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
This is where radio listeners heard the third of four pieces of music in the show. Please have a listen. It's quite good. And you can do that by clicking on the link in the podcast notes. Don't forget to come back afterwards for the last chunk of the show.
That was Don't Stop Believing by Journey. You're listening to The Business Show on Marlowe FM. My name's Lawrence Wood. I'm delighted this week I've got my, not quite co-presenter, but the other presenter who hosts this show, Mr. Mark Harris. And he's been talking to us about his new business called After Redundancy. Mark, before we get to the end of the show and we play our final piece of music for listeners at home, we have about 10 minutes and I'd really like to speak to you about networking groups. Now, I speak to everybody that comes on this show about networking groups because, as I said earlier, business relationships are the cornerstone of doing good business. Building strong relationships, building the know, like and trust relationship with people is so, so important. It's so key to everything. And the best way to do that, I would say, is by going to networking groups and starting to make connections there and building those relationships at that point. And then you might take them beyond the networking groups and into one-to-ones. But as we already established on the show, you've got a large number of connections, not just spurious connections, people who've linked with you on LinkedIn, but genuine connections, people that you either have worked with directly yourself or you know extremely well or come very, very highly praised and regarded from people that you know. So you must be something of a super networker, surely, and know something about networking groups. Indeed, I believe you run a networking group.
Absolutely, absolutely. Networking for me is critical. I think for anybody in business, it's critical. You have to engage with people who have the potential to spend money with you, and that's networking. Engaging with people is networking. There's lots of different ways. In the good old days when we were allowed out and we would go to, as in go physically in a car to a networking event, there were loads that I used to go to, and they were dotted around this bit of the Thames Valley, which from an enterprise doctor, my mentoring and coaching business, from that perspective, that's very much my patch. And as you say, I do run a networking group as well. I'm almost reluctant to say that. I run something called Laptop Monday, and it was designed as, and was, if I say so myself, very effectively a co-working group. It operated in the Marlow area, and it involved a bunch of people, whoever wanted to come along, who would usually work at home, instead of which they go somewhere else, like the Marlow Club, the gym in Marlow, or, you know, a range of different places in the cafe there. And a bunch of us would sit together with our laptops for a morning, and we had the opportunity to say, Lawrence, we have a look at this spreadsheet. Why are these figures not adding up? What am I getting wrong? Or, did you see the match of the day last night? Or, you know, the kind of stuff you used to say in an office, but I don't work in an office. Laptop Monday worked really well, and it worked so well that some guys in Wokingham said, we want to replicate it. So I sort of franchised it. They, you know, allowed them to copy it and use the brand. And when the lockdown hit, we had 7 groups around the Thames Valley. And then the lockdown hit, and now our marketing tagline was, don't work at home alone, come and work with others. And at that point, a year ago now, the government's marketing tagline was, don't work with others, work at home alone. So that was really incompatible. So we do have an online version of Laptop Monday. It's much more networking than co-working, but there is a fair bit of networking involved. The other group that I want to mention that I also used to go to face-to-face and is now online, the networking group is called 3FM, and it's called that because it's on the third Friday of the month, which makes it really easy for me to remember when it is. And it's part of the Henley Business Partnership. And I know that us Marlovians aren't supposed to mention that rather naughty word of the town down the road. But you know what? I like Henley, and I like the people, and it's a really good networking group. And it's gone online, and none of the networking groups that have gone online, including mine, none of them are as good online. But they are not better than not networking. So the thing I want to tackle is why. Why do I like those two networking groups as opposed to some of the others? And the reason is because I, as Enterprise Doctor, I have a target audience, and that's solopreneurs and micro businesses, and that's who goes to those two groups. So in order to talk with people who might potentially want to spend money with me, I have to be in the place where they are. And for both of those groups, that's the place where they are. I should also say that with Laptop Monday, it's a smaller group, anything from 6 to 20 people on any given Monday. It's alternate Mondays now, it's online, but they're friends now, you know? And when new people come along, they don't find a clique, they find a welcoming group of friends, and they become part of that group of friends. And I really enjoy those events. 3FM, the face-to-face ones, you used to get 60, 70 people in the room at Friends Court Club in Henley, whereas on the online ones, maybe 30 or 40, maybe 50. But even so, they are the kind of people, not all of them, but a lot of them are the kind of people to whom I want to sell. So I'm putting myself in front of them, enhancing my reputation, networking. And sometimes something comes out of it. And you know the other thing that comes out of both of those things? I don't just find customers, I find suppliers, because they're the kind of people I want to work with. I want to work with someone like me, a small business, someone to whom the customers are important. And those are the kind of people who go to both of those groups.
Brilliant. And how could people listening at home get involved with either of those networking groups? Where do they start?
Oh, okay. For Laptop Monday, if you Google Laptop Monday, you never know, it might come up top, but there's an awful lot of things about laptops that are on the internet. So the best thing to do probably is just get in touch with me, either through the After Redundancy website, which will be live really soon, or Enterprise Doctor website, or indeed the Facebook group for this business show, and say to me, hey, tell me about Laptop Monday, and I will. If you Google Henley Business Partnership, I'm absolutely sure that it will come up top. Get in touch with them. And there's a lovely, lovely lady called Isabel who runs all of the administrative side like clockwork, and you will get a response from her, and she'll talk to you. That one, there is a charge off the top of my head, 60 quid a year or something. And the meetings, the online meetings are free. So really, I would recommend giving that a go.
fantastic. And yeah, you're not the first person on this show to mention Laptop Monday. Actually, although you started it, clearly it's had quite an impact on a lot of people. I believe you're the fourth guest who's mentioned Laptop Monday as one of their favourite places to go. And it's really interesting that it's not a networking group, it's a co-working group. And I mean, you used the example of saying, oh, you might pop up and say, Lawrence, why aren't the figures on this spreadsheet working properly? Or did you see Match of the Day last night? And ironically, you've picked two things. I'm not great with numbers. I live in a world of words and phrases, and I don't watch the football. So I wouldn't have been able to help you with either of those things. But there's lots of conversations that go on there, and lots of people speak very highly of it. Are you looking forward to the days when you can return to face-to-face meetings, or do you think it will always be online?
I think both of those things. I think it will always be online because that does work, and the whole geographical thing is taken out of the equation. But the face-to-face Laptop Mondays were, I'm not going to say better, they were different. I got different things from them, and I love them, and I miss them, and I want them to come back. And they will. One day we will be allowed.
Fantastic. Mark Harris, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. It's been absolutely fantastic speaking to you. For anyone who's just tuning in and you've missed the show so far, my guest is Mark Harris, founder of After Redundancy, and he's been talking about his new business designed to help people who are facing redundancy and get them back on the path to whatever their goal or success a version of success looks like. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to leave you listeners now with one final song, which is called Keep On Keeping On by the Valley of Wolves. I chose this song because I think just right now it's a really important message that no matter what you're going through, keep going. Ask for support if you need it, but keep going.
And this is the final piece of music which radio listeners heard, and you can't unless you click on the link in the podcast notes. This brings us up to the end of the show, so I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you did, please come back and listen to some more another day.